Good morning. You're now tuned to the CWA Civil Rights Talk Show, An Hour of Power. Now, here's your host, the incomparable Errol Miner.
Good morning, human rights activists all over the world. Welcome back to the Communication Workers of America, Human Rights, Our Power, Justice Field, Our Talk, Solidarity, and Worker Power right here on KYOK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're visiting the beautiful city of Houston, you can take us home with you on KYOKradio.org. You may also now listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Search for CWA Hour of Power on your favorite podcast player. Our hearts are with the people of New Orleans as they face challenges and with those impacted by the devastating wildfires in California. We send our thoughts, prayers, and unwavering support to all affected, and we stand ready to assist in any way we can during these trying times. Thank you for joining us on this morning, CWA Human Rights Hour Power Radio Show. It's about us, that's right. It's about us, working agreements, solidarity, living wages, worker power, and simply human rights. Honk your horns if you support workers. We have a phenomenal show lineup with for you this morning with Makia Jones, Sir Reginald Small, Timmy Wiley, Tay Akins today. So don't you dare change that dial. Tune in this morning, Union Buster of the Week, Wear Blue Day, Tea with Tay, and Our Power Trivia. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Our union voices are ringing in every district from Alaska to Maine, Texas to Minnesota, Canada to Puerto Rico, because we don't play at CWA. Our union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 25 months striking on the picket lines. And yet, while they're striking, they're still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate? Because when we fight, we win. The legacy of the 6888. Today, we bring attention to a remarkable group of women whose bravery, determination, and service rewrote history. The 888 Central Postal Directory Battalion, affectionately known as the 6888. The story is one of courage in the face of adversity, excellence against overwhelming odds, and of a steadfast commitment to duty that has left an indelible mark on the pages of American history. The call to service in the midst of World War II, with the world engulfed in turmoil and uncertainty, the United States Army faced the crisis. Morale among troops stationed overseas was plummeting due to a massive backlog of undelivered mail, letters from loved ones that carried hope, encouragement, and connection. The task to resolve this crisis fell to a group of African-American women, pioneers who stepped forward to answer the call to serve despite facing discrimination and segregation at home and abroad. Formed in 1944, the 6888 was the first and only all-Black, all-female battalion deployed overseas during World War II. Under the command of Major Charity Adams, those 855 women on a mission not just to sort mail, but to deliver hope. When they were in England, the women were confronted with warehouses overflowing with more than 17 million pieces of undelivered mail. The conditions were harsh, cold, dimly lit, and stacked floor to ceiling with letters and packages. They worked in unheated facilities, wearing extra layers to protect themselves from the bitter cold. The women had no modern sorting equipment, relying entirely on manual labor to organize and deliver mail to the troops. Their motto, no mail, low morale, because the guiding principle that drove their efforts through sheer determination and an innovative sorting system, they cleared the backlog in just 3 months, less than half the expected time. Their success not only boosted the spirits of American troops, but also demonstrated the indispensable role women, and specifically African-American women, played in the war effort. The 6888 did more than sort mail. They broke barriers. They shattered stereotypes that doubted the capability of women and African Americans to excel in high-pressure environments. In a military landscape marred by segregation, these women stood tall, showed grace and professionalism in the face of racial and gender discrimination. Major Charity Adams herself faced prejudice but refused to waver in her leadership. She became the first African-American woman to hold the rank of lieutenant colonel in the Women's Army Corps, paving the way for future generations. The women of the 6888 endured hardships beyond the mailroom. They faced cold weather, inadequate facilities, and long hours of physical demanding labor. Yet their greatest challenges often came from within their own ranks and society. They encountered skepticism, isolation, and limited resources, but their resilience proved stronger than any obstacle they faced. Despite their service, these women returned home to a segregated America where their contributions were largely overlooked. Tragically, three members of the 6888, Private First Class Mary Barlow, Sergeant Dolores Brown, and Private Mary Bankston, died during their service in France. They were buried with full military honors in the American cemetery in Normandy, a solemn reminder of the sacrifices they made. For decades, the 6888's story remained untold, overshadowed by large narratives of World War II. But history, though delayed, has a way of honoring those who deserve remembrance. In 2018, a monument was unveiled in Fort Leavenworth, Kansas, honoring their service. And in 2022, the 6888 received the Congressional Gold Medal, one of the highest civilian honors, ensuring that their story is preserved as a monument to encourage and perseverance. Their impact extended beyond their military service. Many of the women volunteered to help rebuild war-torn communities and support orphaned children while stationed abroad. Upon returning home, several members became educators, activists, and civil rights leaders, continuing their fight for justice and equality. As we spotlight the 6888 today, we also acknowledge the work that remains. Their struggle against racism and sexism echoes in our ongoing fight for equality and justice. Their story reminds us that progress requires action, courage, and an unshakable belief in our collective purpose. Let us draw strength from their example. Let us commit to preserving their memory and build upon their legacy by breaking down barriers, creating opportunities, and ensuring that no one's contributions are overlooked. The 6888 teaches us that leadership is not defined by titles, but by actions. Their efforts show us that every job, no matter how unseen, contributes to their greater good. Their courage compels us to speak out against injustice, advocate for inclusion, and strive for a world where opportunities are equally accessible. We must also honor their legacy by educating future generations. Schools, museums, and communities must continue to shape their story, inspiring young people to follow in their footsteps. The preservation of their history is not just about the past, it is about shaping the future. In closing, 6888 were more than mail clerks. They were trailblazers, freedom fighters, and symbols of excellence. Their story is not just Black history or women's history, it is American history. Today, we salute their courage, honor their service, and pledge to carry their legacy forward. May their example continue to inspire us to rise above challenges, to work with purpose, and to leave behind a world better than we found it. You're tuned into KYK 1140 AM and the all-new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on kyokradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us on your favorite podcast player, CWA Strong app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Up next, we have spotlighting one of our own, where we'll be talking about Wear Blue Day with Reginald Small and Kim Johnson.
Good morning, Errol Minor, and good morning, KYOK radio listeners. I am and I remain Reginald Small, Civil Rights and on Equity Chairperson for Communication Workers of America. And Errol, before I get started with the wonderful topic that we're going to talk about today, I would like to personally take a moment to recognize and actually acknowledge the tragedy and the devastation that's going on over in California. Oftentimes with media and stuff that we see, we become so numb to it, it looks like something that we're just seeing on TV. We know people that have been impacted by this and this devastation. So I just want to say that my heart's thoughts and prayers, along with all of us here on the show this morning, our thoughts and prayers are with those that have been impacted. So without any further ado, I would like to introduce our guest today. Her name is Kim Johnson. She represents AFA, the flight attendants, on our Civil Rights on Equity Committee here with Communications Workers of America. She has been with us since about 2018, and she has done great work in the human rights, on the human rights agenda. She is very knowledgeable, and this particular topic that we're talking about today, the Wear Blue Day, which is January 11th, the National Human Traffic Awareness Day. She is going to speak with us and be our guest today on that particular topic. So I welcome you, Kim Johnson, to the show today. And I am going to turn it over to you to give us some information on this particular topic.
Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Reggie. Thank you so much for this opportunity to speak about the Wear Blue Day campaign. So what this is doing is bringing awareness to human trafficking. And what AFA-CWA has been uniquely positioned to do is to be what we call 100,000 eyes in the skies to help prevent human trafficking, to help point out anything that we may see in flight, anybody in distress. This program has been in place since 2015. We partnered with the Homeland Security Department to bring in what is called hidden in plain sight. So on January 11th, what we're asking everyone to do is to wear blue, to take a photograph, a selfie of yourself, post it on your social media apps and pages to bring awareness to Wear Blue Day. You can also visit dhs.gov/blue campaign. There is a wealth of information on that site. There are even free download kits where you can download media material for your locals to help us bring more attention to human trafficking.
Thank you, Kim, for that information. Kim, I know that some of us, when we think of human trafficking, we think of some large network or something. Mm-hmm. My mind automatically goes to the old movie Taken, and it seems that it's something that it's this large network of something. But human trafficking is something that goes on right under our noses in our own cities daily in so many unique ways. So I think this is a wonderful opportunity to bring awareness to it and to talk about the subject even more. So could you give us that website one more time that we can go to for more information?
Yes, you can visit dhs.gov/blue campaign. And this is a program directly with the Department of Homeland Security and also the Department of Transportation Blue Lightning Initiative. And what the Blue Lightning Initiative does is it trains U.S. commercial airlines and their employees to identify potential human trafficking victims and notify federal authorities. And Reggie, I think you said something, very important, because what is human trafficking? When we think about human trafficking, I think that most people think about the actual movement or transportation of people. But human trafficking can be right in our own community, right next door to you. Human trafficking involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some act of labor or commercial sex act. And victims don't have to be transported across a border to be a victim of human trafficking, nor is it just female related. This also happens to young men. You also find human trafficking in neighborhoods that are, poverty stricken. It opens the door to human traffickers, makes the young people very vulnerable to it. So this is something that is bigger than just on the airplanes. It's actually a community-wide problem. And what AFA-CWA has done with 100,000 Eyes in the Skies is that we focus on travel that is centered around large sporting events, large music events. We make sure that we are in those aisles and that we are taking a good look at the customers on board and looking for the signs of someone that may be trafficked, someone that is not giving us eye contact, not speaking with us. Oftentimes, we find that there are young women and men that appear to be very distant. You also notice that there's only one person handling their documents. You notice that sometimes they have been marked or tattooed, which is also a sign that they are basically a piece of property that is being sold. And so we make ourselves available should anybody need to reach out to us, and we're constantly watching. And that is what is meant by the 100,000 eyes in the skies. So what we're asking again, the ask is that we support the Wear Blue Day campaign. Get those selfies out there. Wear your blue hat, blue sweater, blue dress, any blue item, and support this cause and bring more awareness to human trafficking and the plight of the men and women that are being trafficked.
All right. And so, Kim, again, the day that we're going to do this and we're going to deck out in our blue to bring awareness, what day is that again?
January 11th. 2025.
All right. And the ask again, you want us to post it on social media, tell all our friends about it in the workplace, and make it a full day.
Right. And if you go to the website that I just gave you, there are free downloads of the banners that you can use, like in a meeting, your background. All of this is free. And also, one other thing that I would like to point out is the Department of Homeland Security also has a free program where they can come into your locals and they can give a talk about human trafficking. And all you need to do is contact the Department of Homeland Security, and they will in touch put your local in touch with whoever is in charge of your area to help you set up a day where someone can come into the local. They bring loads of information. They bring, key cards and key chains and things that you can carry on you to help you identify human trafficking, along with the numbers that you can call. All of their brochures are in more than one language. They can do a whole campaign in Spanish for you, in French, in Arabic. It's a wealth of information, and it's great because they do it for free to assist you.
Kim Johnson, thank you so much for your insight, the information. Thank you for coming on the show. And we will definitely have you back for more information on this very, very, very important subject. Thank you. And back to you, Errol Minor.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Reginald Small and Kim Johnson. Kim, we must highlight this is your first time on the show, so we got to give you a great welcome to being your first time on CWA Hour of Power. We thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today here on the radio show. You're listening to CWA Hour Power Hour on KYOK 1140 AM and the all new 106.5 FM. If you're on the go, you can take us with you on KYOKradio.org. Listen and subscribe to us on CWA Strong App, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube Music, iHeartRadio, and Podchaser. Wake up, everybody. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. Turn the volume up just a little bit louder to hear the Union Buster of the Week. Good morning, Timia.
Good morning, Errol. Good morning, KYOK listeners. Good morning, Saints, and good morning, Aints. Today, I want to bring attention to a topic that affects the rights and dignity of workers, McDonald's and its union busting tactics. McDonald's is a giant, it's a global giant, as we all know, in the fast food industry. It's not just known for its burgers and fries, it's also garnered attention for its controversial approach to labor relations, particularly when it comes to unions. Across the world, McDonald's has been accused of employing various tactics to suppress efforts by its employees to unionize. One of the most common tactics used by McDonald's and other corporations engaging in union busting is the the giving out of anti-union propaganda. This can take the form of mandatory meetings where employees are fed misinformation about unions, painting them in a negative light. Workers may be told that unions will lead to job losses, reduced benefits, or even closure of their workplace. Furthermore, McDonald's has been known to hire specialized consultants and law firms to advise them on how to legally obstruct unionizing efforts. These consultants often train management on how to identify and respond to union activities, creating an atmosphere of fear and intimidation among employees who support unionization. In cases where employees show strong pro-union sentiments, McDonald's has been accused of retaliation. This could mean targeting vocal union supporters for unfair disciplinary actions, reducing their hours, or even termination under the guise of performance issues. It's even gone so far as when you apply for the job, and you know, y'all, we all know when you apply for the job and they give you that kind of psych evaluation, they have been known to cut people out of the hiring process based on how they answer the questions if they are deemed to lean more union positive. Such actions not only undermine workers' rights, but also create a chilling effect that discourages others from speaking out. Moreover, McDonald's has been criticized for its use of legal maneuvers to delay union elections or negotiations. See, they think they're slick. But we see them. This includes challenging the validity of union cards signed by employees or exploiting loopholes in labor laws to prolong the process, thereby stalling unionizing efforts, which I find it's really interesting that in other countries that McDonald's can pay a living wage where it's mandatory and they're still making a profit. Just remember that. These tactics are not just about business strategies. They impact real people. Workers who are simply seeking fair wages, better working conditions, and a voice in decisions that affect their livelihoods. By suppressing unionization, McDonald's denies its employees the fundamental right to collective bargaining, which is essential for achieving workplace fairness and equity. It's really concerning to learn that McDonald's Corporation insists that it doesn't directly employ the workers, especially considering that around 95% of its 14,000 U.S. restaurants are owned by franchisees. It's disheartening to see McDonald's essentially getting away without facing the consequences after illegally retaliating against low-paid workers who are simply fighting for fair wages to provide for their families. Again, in other countries where it is mandatory for them to pay a living wage and for them to provide good insurance, they can do that and they still make a profit. In conclusion, the issue of McDonald's union busting tactics is not just a matter of corporate policy, it's a matter of social justice and human rights. As consumers and members of society, we have the power to advocate for fair treatment of workers and demand accountability from corporations like McDonald's. How do we do that? We spend our money wisely. We take our money, our hard-earned money, and we put it in places that value their workers. So let us stand in solidarity with workers around the world who are fighting for the right to for their right to unionize and be treated with dignity and respect in the workplace. So with all of that being said, I'd like to deem McDonald's our union buster of the week. When you go to McDonald's, please be kind to the workers. They are fighting for dignity on the job. And Errol, I will place it back to you.
Thank you so much, Timia. We thank you for taking time out to bring the Union Buster of the Week, known as McDonald's. An essential topic that shapes the foundation of our nation, equality and justice. Imagine a world where racism and systemic inequities did not exist. A world where every individual is treated fairly and valued for their humanity. In such a world, landmark policies like the Civil Rights Act of 1964, affirmative action and diversity, equity and inclusion, DEI initiatives might never have been necessary. However, history has shown us a different reality, one where structural barriers have required intentional efforts to level the playing field. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, affirmative action and DEI policies have profoundly impacted minorities, opening doors and dismantling discriminatory practices. Yet the effects of these policies are a nuance, and their necessity underscores the work still required to achieve genuine equality. We will explore these initiatives this morning and their impacts with our new segment of the day, where the tea is about to be spilled. We welcome the new segment, Tea with Tay. Good morning, Tay.
Good morning, KYOK Station, and let's talk about it. So what we're going to be talking about today is this dismantling of DEI initiatives. But before we go into that, first, I want to break down the diversity, equity, and inclusion. I want to explain exactly what that means first. So diversity, the presence of difference within the human identity, including race, gender, age, sexual orientation, religion, and other characteristics. Equity, the fair distribution of resources, access, and opportunities so that everyone has what they need to succeed. Inclusion, the initial efforts to ensure that everyone is welcome, respected, and has equal opportunities to contribute. So diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives, which refer to policies, practices implemented by organizations to promote a workplace where people from diverse backgrounds feel welcome, respected, and have equal opportunities, encompassing aspects like race, gender, ethnicity, racial, sexual orientation, ability, and more. Essentially aim to create a more inclusive environment by addressing potential biases and barriers. Now, McDonald's is the latest company to roll back or discuss rolling back their DEI initiatives. Workers find themselves in an era of betrayal, as the same corporate world that used DEI to recruit talented, diverse labor is now eliminating these programs today. We're going to be talking about some of the companies, but again, I want to highlight McDonald's because McDonald's has been the latest to announce that they're rolling back on the DEI. They're breaking faith within the workforce in order to appease a perceived worse impulse of their customer bases. DEI has built the success of the modern corporate world, and we cannot and will not stand by idly while it is being dismantled. McDonald's is just the latest, as I said, corporation to announce their plan, but there are so many more companies. And because they've decided to do this, I think that it's crucial that we let you know what companies feel that DEI is no longer important, and they are dismantling it, which affects so many of our working people. So today with Tea with Tay, we're gonna call these companies out. That's the only way we get something done. So one of the companies was McDonald's. I believe another company is Lowe's. Let me go through here.
You're absolutely right, Tay. Lowe's is one of the companies. It's the home improvement retailer. Reduced its DEI efforts following activist campaigns. And that was located, and I know this because I was favoriting Lowe's because of their DEI practices at one time. And on top of that, they have a CEO that is a Black American. So therefore, I favored them, especially after Home Depot supported individuals that did not want DEI to take place. So you're absolutely correct on Lowe's being one of those companies.
And Walmart.
You know, really quick, I think it's really important to highlight the fact that some of these companies are doing this based off of just pressures and societal pressures, right? So it's not
one
like
of the companies.
I'm sorry. Yeah, Lowe's is one of the
Go
companies
ahead, go ahead.
Lowe's is one of the companies that has done that, and that's the statement that they released. And I think it's important to talk about the fact that a lot of companies were receiving backlash for their DEI initiatives, thus pressuring them to kind of push them back. There have been a lot of lawsuits for what they're calling reverse racism and different things that's kind of forcing the hand of some of these companies to make these changes.
And how I feel or I perceive it is these companies, when DEI worked with them and they were getting the talented workers and they were becoming the billionaires and millionaires that they are, DEI worked for them. But now that we are changing and things are changing, it no longer works for them. But that doesn't mean that it should be taking from the working people. It has created more education for people who didn't understand why DEI is important. It has given opportunities to people who would have not had some opportunities if DEI initiatives were not around at the time. So I feel that these companies, although they're taking this stance for one reason or another, before they took the stance for the right reason. So why do we have to change that now? If no peer pressure should make you change what is right. And I was calling out Walmart because Walmart,
Right.
sorry, Walmart has a long history of its anti-union busting, and they don't want it around. But DEI was something that they also included into their hiring process. And as soon as they could change it, they did change it. And I want you all to recognize that. As soon as they could change it or they felt they were safe to change it, they changed it. That should tell you everything you need to know about Walmart. They said they were for the people. And one another Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, of course, you're pointing out Walmart and certainly rightfully so. DEI in the corporate sense, and you can tag onto this or correct me, in the corporate sense was mostly about training and awareness. They checked off a box that we are now making people aware that of what you can say and that there's a diverse workforce among us. My thought it has always been when there's always been conflicts and controversy around the subject. Now, of course, it's a bad word. But my simple thought is that if people were just going to do right,
There
we
you go.
wouldn't have ever needed it in the first place. So if people were just going to do the right thing and create an equitable work environment, an inclusive work environment, a diverse work environment, we would have never had to go through any of these rules and DEI and affirmative action, and none of this stuff would have ever had to take place if mankind was just going to do the right thing. So all of a sudden in 2025, I guess we're just assuming that people are just going to do the right thing and we don't need any training. We don't need to be aware of the diversity that's among us. We don't need to remind people of what is proper to say and not to say. I think, of course, in a perfect world, that would be just fine. But I don't happen to live in a perfect world. My address doesn't sit in a perfect world. And without some framework and without some guidance, without some awareness, without some training, I mean, we're going backwards. We're going backwards in excess of 40 years, and that's my humble opinion.
And you are absolutely correct, Reginald. If we lived in a world of fairness, we wouldn't have these issues. And that's why it burns me when I hear people talk about you just need to hire people on merit. That's not true. Some folks were hired because your mama's best friend.
I was just going to say nepotism.
Okay.
That's it. You're absolutely right. People, all of us
And then,
don't have parents that are CEOs or, running circles or are trust fund babies. We don't, all of us don't have connections into these worlds. So you can't always, it just doesn't work that way. We don't, we weren't, all of us weren't, we just weren't born into certain classes where you have resources at your fingertips. to be able to
And
get you a job.
Jamil, you're definitely right. And it reminds me of the original subject that Errol brought up during his opening remarks. And thank you, Errol, for talking about the women of the 6888. Historically, this is a struggle that marginalized groups have always had to endure. When you read the history of that and you think about it, do you think these people were not qualified? Of course, they were qualified. They were just as qualified as the other women who joined in World War II efforts, but they were not recognized because of the color of their skin or because they were female. I'm not sure which one, or is it a double discrimination? Probably a little bit of both. So historically, we've always had to bring some rules and some guidance to the table to try to create a more equitable environment. And then I've said this before, and I'm not taking it back, that diversity piece can be looked at and you can pick it out and you can kind of see. Equity can kind of be measured just a little bit. But that I, that inclusiveness, that's a feeling. That is a feeling. What kind of feeling are these work environments producing? Do I feel safe? Do I feel respected? Do I feel recognized? That's a very important piece. And when these things are being rolled back, that piece, I mean, if you don't feel included, I mean, that's an awful feeling.
And I want to say, when we talk about diversity, equity, inclusion, this doesn't just mean race and gender. That's not what it means. There are people
Right.
with different abilities or disabilities that deserve the same opportunities. So we have to actually dig a little deeper when we say it's all about race or it's all about gender, it's all about sexual. It has so much more meaning. DEI has helped so many people who didn't, again, they didn't have certain opportunities because companies didn't feel like they had to hire disabled people, or they felt as if they didn't have to hire a certain group of people. DEI has given a lot of people the opportunity to work and feel welcome and to feel needed.
And Tay, I'm glad that you said that because a huge thing, and what people don't understand, is that DEI is not affirmative action. And as soon as the Supreme Court repealed affirmative action, that's when a lot of these DEI practices started to go away. And Reginald and I were talking about this a lot. I want to say, what was it, Monday morning or Tuesday morning, Reggie? And it's important for people to know that there is a difference. And I will say that, there are similarities, but DEI is more so like a affirmative action 2.0. It's kind of a more progressive, inclusive, modern version of that, where it's not like, okay, we have to have a certain amount of these people. No, it's about the fact that our workplaces need to reflect the kind of people that are in the world that we live in. So I think it's really important to highlight the fact that as soon as they repealed affirmative action, all of these things started to happen. So it brings truth and light to what Reginald said, where people aren't as good as we think they are, and they're not going to do the right thing. And it's our purpose and our job as activists to shine a light on that and make it better. Reginald, do you have any comments on that? Because I know you and I talked extensively about that the other morning.
Yeah, we have talked extensively about that, but I think you covered it pretty good. It's just, again, I don't have faith that people are just going to do the right thing. In my young life, I have seen that people will not just automatically do the right thing. Have we made improvements? Of course we have made improvements. Are all companies bad? No, and they start off with good intentions. But they can't manage every single person that they hire, and it just turns out that I don't know. It doesn't end good
It doesn't.
for
Power
certain groups
corrupts.
of people.
Exactly. And I don't know who where the quote came from, but there's a saying. It says absolute power corrupts. You have to have a
Absolutely.
set of checks. What was it, Errol?
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
That's it. You have to have a series of checks and balances. A union, at the end of the day, is a set of checks and balances for corporations, and that's what's needed on behalf of the workers.
And if the argument is reverse discrimination, and I won't sit here and say that perhaps there are instances of that, That's what we need to look at. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. If there is an issue or some issues that's causing reverse discrimination, as I believe the argument is, we need to look at that and correct that, not get rid of the whole thing. You look at that and you fix it. There is nothing perfect. Fix that issue, address that particular issue, and hear the concerns of those people who are viewing it as reverse discrimination. In order to perfect any program, you have to listen to both sides of the argument, condemn, and then hear the third side of that argument to get the whole story, the whole picture.
And that's what I think the irony of the whole thing is, right? Because if we're talking about diversity and inclusion, we're just talking about including everyone. So the fact that the argument is that someone is being, what is it, discluded, unincluded? What is the word, y'all? Help me. If someone
Excluded.
is excluded,
Excluded.
there we go. If so the argument is the if the argument is the fact that someone is being excluded by including others, there is the therein lies the issue, because that doesn't make any sense. If we are trying to foster a work environment where everyone is included, why are you feeling excluded? So I think that that's a really huge thing that we need to look at, we need to think about and sit with for a little while. Why is the inclusion of others making you feel excluded?
And the point in calling out these companies or talking about these companies is because we need to have those real conversations. You don't need to dismantle, you need to build on. So if there was a problem, you lead with the successes and then you work everything else out. I do feel like removing diversity and inclusion is going to become a bigger problem than they think that it is, because then you're not going to have those same talented workers. You're not going to have that same diverse group of people. Your company is not going to look like its community anymore. So we need to talk about that stuff. These people who you feel are excluding someone else, or these people that you've hired in that you feel like it's excluding another group or whatever the case may be, those are your talented workers who have gained you so much. Those are all the people who have worked so hard because they didn't have those opportunities before DEI. They didn't have those opportunities before, so they showed their value. And again, you're breaking the faith of the workers. You're breaking the faith of the very people that you told you trust by taking these things away. And that's just how I feel about it.
Well, and then Tay, it makes me wonder, and I pose this question because I like to have all information when we're having a discussion. And of course, in some ways, you can't have all the information because it's too new. But in these companies that they're saying they're re removing or rolling back DEI, what are they replacing it with? Is there another program? Is there something else that they're going to use to monitor the situations that will arise in these corporations? Because the situations aren't going to go away. So I would really like for us to explore what are the programs being replaced with, if anything? What's your answer to the problem? Because the problem will still exist.
So we need to ask those companies, also like Jack Daniels. They've also decided that they wanted to roll back, and that's the spirit giant Brown-Forman Corp. They make the maker of Jack Daniels whiskey. So they're also included in this conversation. Ford Motor Company, Toyota. There's just so many companies who have decided this is the best way to go, and it is not the best way to go.
Well, this has been some very interesting conversation. This tea Tay you poured, the tea you poured today was piping hot.
Before we jump out of Tay with T, it is not always about, talking about the negative. We need to highlight some of these companies who are still doing what they're supposed to do. Costco.
Go
Costco,
ahead, Tay.
everyone loves them some Costco. Costco, we thank you because you understand the importance of being committed to the DEI initiatives. You emphasize the importance of diversity for your employees, and the members that are there with you. So we appreciate companies like Costco.
And I appreciate Costco for their rotisserie chickens.
And for me, the paper towels and the toilet paper. I appreciate you for that.
Y'all are something else.
Oh, and I just want to say that Reginald did actually bring me the pound cake if you were listening last week. So I appreciate Reginald for
Yes, for the delicious
Thanksgiving and
pound
the pound
cake.
cake conversation.
I think I ate six slices.
We went to a Costco in a box to use soon.
Now, another thing that we talked about with this whole diversity and inclusion thing, we're here currently in Austin, Texas at our CWA National Human Rights Committee face-to-face meeting. And a huge part of our meeting was how do we see these issues and combat them? And how do we bring this to another level in minimizing harm in our communities? And so we've been working on building an action plan. That's something, like a 5-point plan that activists can go out and utilize to kind of combat some of these issues. So I think we should talk about that for a few moments and the work that we plan on doing this year and in the future.
Well, I guess
I'm
we'd
about to say,
start
did y'all
off.
all leave me at work by myself? That's crazy.
No,
No.
you threw that out there, but no, so I guess to start off as an activist, you find something that's really important to you. There are so many issues going on in the world that you have to find something that you're passionate about as a
Yes.
personally, something that actually moves you. I think to start there is the first thing. And from there, we move into the plan, which was a wonderful plan.
Yes. The plan is basically we start on our local levels. We all think big because I'm one of those people. I think big. I think I could save the world. I'm learning as an adult, like slow down, Tay. One state at a time, one city at a time. We have to start on our local levels. Find things in your community that you know that you can help with. You can do something to be involved with. And again, once you get into these things, if you're picking your own project or you know that something is not right in your community and you go with it, that turns into a passion because you know that you're fixing your area, you're fixing your community. So that's what I would say. We should lean on fixing our communities and then think bigger as we get bigger as far as what we can fix. So I think that was a good plan. We kind of talked about action. We do a lot of planning. We do a lot of planning. It's time to take action.
It
It's time
is.
for us to do something about it.
I think that a lot of us are activists and we don't even realize that we are activists. What I say that to say is, even as a young kid, if you were that person where somebody in the classroom was getting bullied or picked on and you stood up for them, that's the activist in you. Standing up for people. If you're in the grocery store and you just may happen, or you could be anywhere, and it's happened to me before. And somebody turned around. You may have been there first. There may have been a person of color there first. It might have been an older person there first. But the clerk will turn around and ask the other person. We'll go to immediately help the other person. By you standing up for the person that was there first and got overlooked, that makes you an activist. You can start small. You don't have to be marching with a sign to make a difference in somebody's life. It's small acts of kindness that turn this thing around. It's small acts of doing what's right to help other people, to bring awareness to situations. There's so many things that you can do on just a small level. You don't if you don't let the word activist scare you, because there's so many things that you can do on a small level at work or anywhere to bring awareness to someone being treated unfairly. And that's all I'm gonna say.
That's
Okay, Tina
absolutely right.
Angela. Found girl.
Yeah, very profound, but I don't want the radio listeners to get it confused. We do need those sign carriers.
Yes, we
So,
do. Yes, we do. I just don't I'm just saying that there is a place for everybody.
of
Because
course.
I can promise you, once you start building on that, once you take that small baby step, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna feel it in your heart, and you're gonna start, and you'll start building. It's gonna be like a snowball.
As the old preacher would say, it's just like fire shut up in
Fire.
my balls.
Yes. That's
But you know
it.
what? What I like the saying that Tay did when we were at our face to face. Tay, you might have to correct me if I get it wrong, but you stated that we've gotten all of this information. Now, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to put it to action?
Yeah,
Is that right, Tay?
That's correct, because that's
Okay.
what I'm telling you. We get so much training, we learn so much, and we sit on that. We need to start doing something with what we've got. We've gained so much. It's time to give it a little to someone else. That's how I feel. We need to get out in our communities and help them understand things that I would say I didn't understand before. So if I didn't understand something before, I know there's many people like me who don't understand something. And I want to say something about, to me, when you said activists scare people, I remember the first time someone called me an activist. I said, no, I just do training classes. I just talk to people
Exactly.
here and
Something
there.
about that. Yes. Because sometimes being an activist sounds very radical, very foreign to people. But being an activist is just going against the status quo a little bit sometimes to bring awareness to a situation. And I'm gonna be, I don't know how transparent I can be on this radio show. Y'all, I'm gonna be real transparent. Please, nobody hate me. I grew up in a place. No, I'm not gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there today. Y'all might not be ready for that. But I ask that if you see someone being treated unfairly, speak up, speak out, use your privilege. You may have a little bit more privilege. And why I say privilege, use what you have to fight the powers that be.
Yes.
And I'm gonna leave it at that.
And we
And you
go.
know,
Yes.
Tumia, I'm glad at what you said because, and I think this is something that we'll discuss later on sometime in the show, is removing the stigma from certain words. Certain words have now have gotten like a bad rep based off of the status quo, and the status quo isn't always right, right?
You're
Like
correct.
sometimes we as society conform to things just because we were told to, and then we have these words now that have these stigmas behind them, and I think that that's a huge issue in empower, like you know, and minimizing people and their power because these words, once you say a certain word, it's like, oh, and people just shut up, stop listening to you, or they back away. Go ahead, Reggie.
DEI is one of them.
Absolutely.
Right.
Affirmative action.
DEI,
It's two
activism,
words, but that's another
action,
one.
right? Transgender. A lot of those words make people just shut down and back off. And it's just a word, and it shouldn't have that, you know, that much power, but it's the stigma behind it. It's what other people are now defining it as. And I think as activists, right, we need to repeal that because there's nothing wrong with, now we say diversity and inclusion, it sounds good. And I know it sounds good because all of these companies put it on their websites and their little spiels at the top, and we're so diverse and inclusive, and this is what we're doing here, and we're all getting along, and we're a big happy family. But that's not what's really happening. So I think it's a huge thing that we start to talk about removing the stigma, the negative stigmas behind words. And
That's a good one there. Man,
before
Tea with Tay has been hot this morning.
we close out, we've given all this information. This is your call to action. We're not asking you to do something big. We're asking you to do what you can. If you know that there's something going on around you and you're not doing nothing about it, you're just as bad as the people doing it. So what I want us to do is figure out how we're going to solve these problems because we're giving you the
Right.
information. We're telling you what's wrong. Now, what are we going to do about it?
That's right. That's right. Well, that's tea for Tay this morning, or Tay for tea. However,
Keep
it's
with
hot.
Tay, Lord have
It,
mercy.
I listen,
With
I
Tay.
burnt my tongue over here this morning.
She tore it up. She tore it up.
Woo, she tore it up this morning. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, affirmative action and DEI programs are not just policies. They are lifelines for fairness and equality. They represent our collective acknowledgement of past injustices and our commitment to a better future. Yet the existence of these measures remind us that the work is far from over. Thank you so much, Tay, for all that you do and for bringing this new segment this morning, Tea with Tay. As we come down to the final minutes of the show, our Union brothers, sisters, and siblings at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette have been outside for 24 months, 2 years on the picket lines, and yet while they're striking, they're still churning out the news with facts for you and me. Let's show our support to them by making sure we subscribe to unionprogress.com. Once you subscribe to this free publication, how about going over and donating to their strike fund at cwa.org/ppg-donate? And I just heard someone shout, "We are one." That's right, we are one. We want to thank all of our guests for being with us this morning. Kim Johnson, AFA-CWA, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to be with us today and talk about Wear Blue for this Saturday, January 11th, to promote awareness to human trafficking. An hour is not long enough to be with you, and a week is too long to be away from you. You have been tuned into the CWA Human Rights Justice Hour Power broadcast. I hope something you heard today has inspired you to take action toward creating positive change in the world. Every person has the power to make a difference, no matter how small. And by working together, we can create a world where human rights are respected and valued. So I encourage each of you in the listening audience to reflect on your role in promoting human rights to effect change in your communities and beyond. Know that you are not alone in your quest for a more just and equitable world. When faced with injustice, it can be easy to lose hope and give up. But remember, justice may be slow like the truth, but when it finally comes, it will stand. Until next Thursday, 10 a.m. Central Standard Time, right here on KYOK, 1140 a.m. and the all-new 106.5 FM, KYOKradio.org.